Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com. And, of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Joey Pyburn. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Matt Nelson behind the glass, who actually got to jump in this week and catch a couple Chinook in our beloved Marine Area 9. Mm-hmm. There is some confusion this morning with regard to August 1st and what's going to happen. We're getting some questions about it on the text, particularly with regard to Marine Area 7. We spoke with WDFW yesterday. It's opening tomorrow. Okay, so go fishing in Marine Area 7 and go enjoy yourself because, doggone it, we deserve it.
There wasn't an actual announcement.
Yeah.
But it is open.
Yeah.
So, buoy 10.
Yeah.
Probably one of my, up until, what, 2 or 3 years ago? I think 3 years ago. I'd never fished buoy 10. I'd heard about it for years, obviously, with the bait business. You know, we're very busy that time of year, and it's all this, you know, chaos, and, you know, everybody hooks up their boats and heads for buoy 10. So I went down for the first time, probably one of my favorite fisheries we do all year. You're down there with 1,000 of your best friends. You're very close quarters. The fishing can just be like so fast and furious when the bite is on and you see it happening and it's slowly coming towards you and you're watching rods blow up and nets fly. There's nothing like it, dude. It's unbelievable.
So after a summer of watching
downrigger
bites
fishing.
On downriggers,
yeah.
Okay. Which are great.
It's great. Yeah.
And which are fun. Yeah. Nothing can match the violence, the absolute horrifying cork-cracking violence of having 20 feet of braid out, 25 feet of braid out, and having a 25-pound Chinook salmon try to rip the rod off your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's the strikes. The strikes are so amazing.
Well, and then it's also fighting fish you know, 15 to 25 feet of water.
They can't go down.
They can't go down, so they go out.
Man, yeah. Yeah, they're just no question.
And those fish are hot. They're coming in
from the point.
Salt.
That's a great point.
That water's warm, and they are spunky. And those big upriver brights, they're just like,
dude,
nothing like it.
A huge, a much bigger component of this run is comprised of upriver brights this year. And the URBs, they're like the springers of the fall salmon because they have so far to go, right? And they're gonna go up to the Hanford Reach and the upper parts of the Skagit and stuff. And a lot of those come, the hatchery component of those come from Chief Joseph facility, and they've really jacked up plants on that. They're some of the most amazing eating salmon you're going to have all year long. And like you said, the point you made with they're going to come out of a 54-degree ocean, and they're coming over that bar, and they're experiencing 65-degree river temps.
Or higher.
And so what that does is, you know, salmonids are completely governed with regard to their metabolism to the outside temperature. They're poikilothermic, which means they're the same temperature as our outside environment. And so now you take these fish and you jack them up 15 degrees, okay, and the fight you get out of these fish is simply amazing. So many of these fish are lost at the boat. You have to have a game plan. Okay, you got to have a game plan for these because of the complex gear you're fishing. So you're fishing a slider of some type with a lead that's on a dropper, okay? And there's bottom walker rigs out there that we use or the Lure Jensen sliding spreader which is killer and quite adequate. So that drops down then to a rotating, you know, inline rotating flasher, right? Inline flasher. Then you got another 4 feet a leader that goes to, you know, your anchovy or herring or cut plug or whole herring, whatever. So you got a bunch of tackle up there.
Yeah.
And the problem is at times you're fishing, you know, 14, 16, 18, and even 20-ounce leads, okay? So now you got this lead hanging around up there, right?
And whipping around,
yeah. And so it could be difficult sometimes to get
it
these
could be dangerous.
We have finally got the Earl of Buie 10. Eric Lindy himself is stepping in now to join the conversation about Buie 10. Good morning.
Good morning,
Eric.
Sir.
Did we wake you up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Did we wake you up?
No. I just stepped outside to get another box of some flashers that I was working on. And
okay.
Well, and my phone rang. I've been sitting here next to it all morning, I swear to God.
Okay, you owe me and Joey a special flasher for this, okay? So we kept the segment going. So tomorrow, buddy, Buie 10 opens up. Last year we had a two-week season and a Chinook forecast. How excited are you for the whole month of August to be able to fish Chinook down Buie 10?
You know, I was a little worried earlier, but this thing's actually, you know, looking up here. The catches out here off the ocean, the silvers have gotten a lot better, and I know there's been some flashes of Chinooks out there too, so yeah, it's not looking too bad. I'm excited for it.
You know, the forecast we're looking at like near a half million Chinook coming over the bar. I tell you what, I've seen tremendous fisheries down there on smaller forecasts.
Last year was good. We had good fishing.
Last year was really fun.
On about half that half of what we're going to see this year.
So I mean, what do you anticipate, buddy? What do you anticipate? When this thing opens up and during the peak, about the third week of August, you know, give us your viewpoint. What do you kind of expect down there? You know, Astoria, Chinook, the wonderful Buie 10 fishery.
Well, you know, it's opening up with a great series of tides here. I'm kind of wondering, you know, where do you start tomorrow morning? Do you start in front of Hammond? Do you go up on the green line? I mean, there's a lot of options there. And then the only real bad spot in there that you can consider a bad spot is like, say, the 9th, 10th, where you got some great big tides, but even those aren't that big in comparison to past years. So tide-wise, it looks good. One of the unknown factors, I think, is going to be water temperature on the Columbia, you know. But down here, that equates to, you know, in the lower river down here, that equates to a pretty good bite, because usually where the cold and the warm water hit is where all the good place. So I know I think it's going to be a heck of a year just sheer volume and numbers. It's going to be good.
What's on the end of your hook tomorrow morning, Eric Lindy?
Well, there will be green label herring on there. I guarantee you that. I'm just an old herring guy, but I'm a little up in the air whether I'm going to run out in the ocean or whether I'm going to hit the river first thing. And if I stay in the river, we're probably going to have some pro trolls out and some triangle flashers and just see what happens. Just take a look and see what's happening around you. Give that first hour just to see what happens. But I think that herring's pretty hard to bite or beat down here.
So yeah. Lindy and I have had some anchovy conversations, and we've had some anchovy head conversations, mm-hmm. and I'll be camped right next to him down there, and you know, just can't wait. Well, I'll probably be coming down next week to drop the boat off, and then I got to swing back home and tend to some business. But so I may need a ride from you. You may need to shuttle me back to the ramp.
But
when I say anchovies to you, it's interesting because the bottom of the Columbia River can be so choked with anchovies sometimes. I mean, Joey, we got a bait rig on a boat. Joey's jigged them before, right? And so when there's that many anchovies in the river and we have an availability problem with herring to no small extent, you are talking about and thinking about putting a few anchovies in the spread this year.
There's no doubt there'll be anchovies involved. Bait already ordered for tomorrow, and they have fresh anchovies down here, that story bait and tackle that you can order and pick them up in the morning or the evening before, usually. And I just like that consistent bait every time. But the anchovies down here are king. I mean, a lot of people do them. All the charter boats run anchovies. That's by far the number one bait down here. And
you're just a herring guy. That's the deal. I mean, You like running herring.
Yeah.
down there. I mean, up here in the Puget Sound, I'm more of an anchovy guy, to be quite honest. I fish chovies all the time. Down there, though, it's cut plug herring for me.
Yeah, it is.
I I've done well on them down here over the years. I've messed with everything, and I've just had my best success with that. But that being said, there's guys that's all they fish are anchovies, and with these new, not even new, with using the helmet heads and stuff, the bait wears so well. The longevity of it, you can fish that bait forever. As long as the hooks don't tear out of it or anything, the baits hold up so well. So, you know, anchovies, great option. If I go in the ocean, I'll probably have anchovies out there for sure.
Yeah, and that's the deal. I mean, the diver anchovy program out over the bar is an absolute kick in the pants. And the thing of it is, with it opening up and with, you know, the quota is not even close to being achieved for coho out there. And we'll get to the whys and wherefores of that. But, I mean, you know, last week, 2,900 anglers caught 370 Chinook and 2,300 coho. So that's point. It's like a fish a rod out there. But through July, through the month of July, Owako is only 25% through the Chinook quota. So we're going to,
Oh, that's good.
That's wonderful, because this time last year, we did not have that ocean option. Mm-hmm. We had a smaller forecast of coho. The coho quota was achieved. So the ocean closed, right? Closed in Nia Bay, closed in Owako. And so it's wonderful to have this early season, to have this opportunity out over the bar, because it's just, it's another option, and a great option, and quite often a productive option. And you know, basically all you got to do is just run divers out there, Eric, right?
Well, there's no question. And I think kind of one of the other things that's overlooked on that deal is that you've got everybody that is in the ocean, fishing the ocean. Last year when they closed that, everybody came in the river and eats up the river impacts even more. So
and
kind of spreads out the catch. I think that's what the one of the neat things is.
And looking back to last year and being happy about this year, we had, what, 15, 16 days down to Buiten? That's all that was open with a closed ocean, right? Mm-hmm. So you put everybody it was a little tight.
There were boats on top of boats, literally. we had a boat on top of another boat.
Joey, that's a good one, dude. Yes, that was there was more than one close quarter maneuvering drill down there, shall we say? But yeah, no question about it. So every year.
What about mooching out in the ocean?
That's what the charter boat.
Right? I mean, that's.
Down here, they don't do that much. Mostly charters are trolling divers and anchovies. But, man, when it's that good out there, especially for silvers, you'd sure think it would work well. I've never tried it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm always in an open boat out there, so I'm trying to get done and get in, and I don't really dink around like that. Guy had a 30-foot duck worth. He'd give that a try. Huh?
Oh, don't hate on the sea beast now. Come on, buddy. We got to get you bored on that one of these days. But all right, buddy. Well, we can't wait. It's going to be a wonderful season down there. Basically, twice the opportunity that we had last year down at Buiten, and almost twice the forecast. I guess if there is something to be a bit concerned about, It's the fact that you know, the Oregon Production Index, which put up that number of 1.7 million coho, we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that. The ocean seasons were set on this forecast. We're between 20 and 25% in all four marine areas right now, which tells us that the coho are not here in the numbers that we anticipated. Then the other thing we need to be aware of is that wild Chinook are not fair game in the Buiten control area until August 11th. We're going to cover that next in the Northwest Outdoor Report. But, you know, I'm fired up for this season, despite the fact that due to those two things going on, we may not have white-hot coho fishing. I'm still incredibly fired up to come down to Buiten, buddy, and I know you are too.
I think even if that comes in, say, half of what they said, that would be fantastic. I just hope it reaches that bar. But you'd have thought we'd had better fishing out there in July than what we did. But it was good south. I mean, down Depot Bay and Newport, the reports I got down there was excellent fishing. So I don't know where these fish moved to, these silvers, but hopefully they're out here, because it's gotten a lot better out here in the last week for sure.
All right, buddy. I'm looking forward to seeing you down there, pal, and looking forward to, you know, learning from you again. I mean, there's not a lot about the Columbia River that you haven't personally taught me, and I'll never be able to thank you enough for that. He's Eric Lindy, Lindy's Guided Sport Fishing. What's your website, buddy?
LindySportFishing.com.
LindySportFishing.com, and also EasyAnchor.com if you're looking for some anchoring gear for that Columbia River and a whole lot more. Eric Lindy, thank you for your time this morning. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
We'll see you at fish camp, buddy.
All right. All right. Take care, you guys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
U.S.-Canada border to open in August with restrictions. That hoped-for opening of the U.S.-Canada border is set to begin in August. Canada plans to open its land borders to fully vaccinated U.S. citizens and U.S. permanent residents for non-essential travel at 12:01 a.m. August 9th, 2021. The United States, however, has extended its land border travel restrictions on the southern and northern borders until August 21st, meaning Canadians can't come visit the United States quite yet. U.S. citizens and permanent residents who are residing in the United States will be able to enter Canada at land borders for discretionary travel, i.e. tourism, with proof of vaccination. Individuals must be 14 days out from full vax to be eligible. Travelers should use Arrive Can to submit travel information, including proof of vaccination. Stay tuned for Peregrine Lodge's Georgia Huseby live from the Queen Charlotte as she welcomes anglers back to Canada.
In these parts, odd year Augusts are known for the invasion of the Pink Horde, and this year should be no exception. Anglers targeting Chinook have reported numerous midwater schools of salmon headed inland, and those schools are pink salmon, also known as humpies. As of tomorrow, August 1st, Marine Area 7 in the San Juans and Area 8-2 Deception Pass in Skagit Bay opens for pinks and coho, but Chinook must be released. These openings will challenge anglers with the task of species identification, and the simplest way to differentiate between the species is to look at the tails. Coho have silver rays emanating from the base of the tail. Humpies have elongated paint drip spots, and Chinook have rounded spots and silver rays. Please get a copy of the Department of Fish and Wildlife's regulation pamphlet and learn the difference.
Coastal salmon update. Marine Area 1 in Waco, 2,900 anglers caught 370 Chinook, 2,300 coho for 0.95 overall catch per rod. Through July, we're only 25% through the Chinook quota in El Waco. In Westport, 2,400 anglers tallied 771 Chinook and 342 coho for a half a salmon overall. Westport is 31% through the Chinook quota and less than 10% through the coho quota. In La Push, 171 anglers landed 42 Chinook and 114 coho for a salmon rod for average. In Nea Bay, 7,000 anglers caught 1,700 Chinook, 3,200 coho for three-quarters of a fish per rod. Nea Bay is at 30% of the Chinook and only 17% of the coho guideline. Overall, through July, the coast sits at 17% of the coho and 36% of the Chinook quota, so the ocean should sail right through Labor Day weekend.
It's a date that anglers from all around the region have circled on their calendars. August 1st, Lower Columbia Fisheries Control Zone, also known as Buoy 10, is open for business. On the heels of last year's 250,000 returning Chinook salmon, we're looking at around 500,000 returning Chinook being forecasted to return this year. So in other words, it's going to be epic. Things loosened up a little bit from last year's shortened season, so here's the drill. August 1st through the 10th, hatchery Chinook and hatchery coho retention allowed. Daily adult bag limit is 2 hatchery salmon, 1 may be a Chinook. August 11th to September 6th, adult Chinook, both native and hatchery coho retention is allowed. Daily adult bag limit is 2 salmon, 1 may be a Chinook. If you missed Eric Lindy's rundown on this fishery in the previous segment, hit the podcast at theoutdoorline.com.
North Coast and Puget Sound halibut fishing to reopen August 19th. Sport halibut fishing will reopen along the North Coast, Marine Areas 3 and 4, and in Puget Sound on Thursday, August 19th. These additional fishing days will allow recreational anglers the opportunity to access the remaining Washington sports quota still available after the tradition season in May and June. Fishery in these areas will be open 3 days a week, Thursday through Saturday, until the remaining quota is reached, or through Saturday, September 25th, whichever comes first. El Waco, Marine Area 1, and the South Coast will also open to all-depth fishing on Friday, August 27th. An additional Area 1 and 2 all-depth day could be added in September if the remaining quota is still there.
In response to increased fire risk and nationally depleted firefighting resources, all Eastern Washington wildlife areas, including water access areas within those wildlife areas managed by WDFW, will be open for day use only during this emergency. The announcement comes on the heels of a recreational access closures to the Met Howe Wildlife Area in North Central Washington announced over the weekend due to the proximity of the Cub Creek 2 fire. Those closures include Perigin Lake Water Access Site, the Rendezvous Early Winters and Methow units of the Methow Wildlife Area. The overnight use in Methow and Southeast Washington Wildlife Area's closure will be in effect till further notice.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Yeah, I'm rooting for that monsoon to come into.
Let's get some rain on that east side.
And the only downside to that is, you know, we get some convection, which could be lead up to some thunderheads and a couple thunderstorms. You know, lightning, not good. Dry lightning's not great. But if it rains over there, it's better for the deer habitat.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the deer
and hunting season is upon us. We have a great opportunity for youth first-time hunters. Hunt First, First Hunt Foundation has an awesome opportunity. So the first 12 eligible first-time hunters get to go over August 26th through the 29th, and everything is provided. They're going to process the deer for them. This is a private property hunt.
So cool.
Where they're using depth tags,
yep.
Right? So these kids get the full meal deal, an experience like nobody gets. They get to go hunt on private land, shoot a doe whitetail up in the northeast corner of the state. So if this is something that you feel like you want to, you know, introduce your kid to, you've been maybe thinking about running them through the hunter education course. You can use the deferral process on this one. You can just go over and hunt. They have, wildlife professionals, enforcement officers will be over there. Great opportunity. If you want to do this, contact Aaron Garcia. His email is aarongarcia@wdfw.wa.gov. And I would do that quickly because this is going to fill up quick.
But it's going to be such a wonderful first hunt opportunity for whoever gets
in. They're going to take the game back. Yeah, they're going to show the kids how to process it. It's a 3-day event, and they're going to teach kids everything they need to know to become, responsible little hunters. Man, it's awesome. I love that. I talked to Kelly Reardon yesterday about it, and they're working on a lot of other
outreach like this. I mean, we need more people. We need more kids.
You know,
there's no question about it. All right, we need to go to Canada. Doggone it. Georgia Huseby of the Queen Charlotte Islands, Haida Gwaii, Peregrine Lodge. Go to peregrinelodge.com. Come join us, man. We're going back up there. We've had a listener trip for years that has been on hold. It's been one of the signature things that Matthew and I have got to do over Father's Day weekend. It's been taken from us. We're getting it back. Georgia Huseby, Peregrine Lodge, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Tom Nelson here, Joey Pyburn, Matt Nelson behind the glass, and on the phone. Well, this is an interview that I've been looking forward to for nearly 18 months. It's here. She's here. Georgia Huseby of PeregrineLodge.com, welcome to the Outdoor Line. I'm so happy to get you on the radio.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to be on, and thanks for having us.
Well, August 9th is a red letter day. I've got family over the border. There's so many anglers from this neck of the woods that consider the folks that they go fish with at their destinations in Canada. They consider them family. Now we've got August 9th on the calendar. We can come up fishing, and Georgia, it sounds like Peregrine Lodge has been cranking away on some of the biggest Chinook that I've heard of up and down the coast. What's going on the north tip of Haida Gwaii right now?
Well, you know, Tom, we don't call it August. We call it Hoggus because it's hogs. It's big fish. So it's just opening just on time.
That's wonderful. And our friend Lisa Killick and her son were out. Can you tell us how big the Chinook was that they got and how little line they had out when they got us? Tell us what you know about that amazing angle.
Well, as you know, Tom, I really profess doing some weighted mooching at this time of year. And, of course, they were weighted mooching, and a 54-pounder rang on the end of their line, and they were able to get that to the boat. And what a successful story for us, for them. It was over the top, an exciting day for them. And since then, we've had 47s, 49s, 45s, and they don't call it Haugus for nothing. So It's just that time of year where you want to be mooching.
Lisa told me they had 4 strips of line out, and they kicked the motor in gear and didn't go very...
You know, that's what you want to do. You want to keep those weights really up shallow, because the salmon, they can't see down. They look up. So you just keep it in their eyesight, mm-hmm. and they're going to bite.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So this whole situation has been a challenge, you know, for both countries, but especially on the travel industry, especially in the destination angling industry, Georgia. And we've worked our way through it. We see the light at the end of the tunnel right now. What are folks going to experience when they jump up to Peregrine Lodge? Tell us about the travel and how we get up there and what we can expect from our Peregrine Lodge Haida Gwaii experience.
Well, when the border's opening, you're going to have to be double vaccinated, and you're going to have to supply a negative COVID test within 72 hours of your travel. We're going to get you on the plane from Vancouver up to Masset, jump on these helicopters, into the lodge, get you out fishing. We're going to fish every single day. You're going to be catching. Your arms are going to be aching. We're going to be spoiling you with the best food that they've ever eaten. You're going to want for naught. Everyone's coming away with huge filled boxes and smiley faces. And, you know, the COVID has been difficult, as you know, on everybody. But right now, there's an opening. We're not into that next wave yet. If you're thinking about coming fishing, well, get on the bus and get up to Canada, and let's get you going.
So this trip starts at peregrinelodge.com, and I would encourage you to watch the video, There Is a Place. It encompasses what the place is all about, the feeling of it, the black-tailed deer walking around the place, the opportunity, you know, not to just fish the salt water, but there's a fly fishing opportunity as you're in an inlet with a river. There's also just so many other activities to do around there, including including a gym, an outdoor fire pit, kayaking, a whole bunch of stuff going on there. But Georgia, I'd be absolutely lying to you if I didn't tell you that every single second that I'm up there, I'm gonna have a weighted rod on a kelp line somewhere, waiting for that big
Heck
Chinook.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not cracked 30 pounds this year, and even if I don't, I'm just looking forward. I just love watching that bite.
Well, we just can't wait to have you. Tom, you're arriving August 29th, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, the one thing that you're going to love about us is the techniques and the different styles that you're going to learn. We're using coated, weighted weights, that the pinks, the oranges, and different colors to attract these salmon. So it's serious business at Peregrine.
And I'm so looking forward to that, because every lodge has their style, their vibe, their way of doing things that's unique, and these techniques have evolved over the years, and you guys recently celebrated 30 years. That's 3 decades in this location. For somebody to come up and not take advantage, I mean, I consider myself a pretty experienced angler, but when I come there, I'm sitting back. I'm going to absorb everything I can from those people that have been on this fishery, because for you not to do so is to deny yourself an opportunity to learn. And I want to learn from some of these guys, because you've got some guides that have been with you for years upon years, Georgia.
Decades, absolute decades. I mean, I have the best guides on the coast. You know, I just got a note from a customer that's up at the lodge right now. He texted me. He said, Georgia, this is a 12 out of 10. The experience and the knowledge of my guides is second to none.
I imagine we could learn a thing or two from Georgia.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Oh, without question.
well, I want to be in that boat. I just, you know, I've been so looking forward to having you guys up. And this is, we've got a window here. I just say everybody should be taking it. I've got some openings. Not many, but if you can manage to get up, this is the time to do it. The fishing has been sort of spectacular. Also, Tom, you know, the commercial fishing was closed up our way. And so it's made an impact on how successful my guests have been able to be.
Oh, that's wonderful news. That is absolutely music to my ears. And the fact that you also have bottom fishing, too. There's halibut and lingcod opportunities in that neck of the woods as well. So if you haven't, if you want to come up here, dial 1-800-663-0992 or log on to peregrinelodge.com. Come up with us. There's some limited spots available. And, of course, we're going to try to, you know, get that Father's Day trip going again for next year. But you got a window here in August. I would just invite you to come. And Georgia, so what I'm hearing is you and I may get to share a day on the water together. Is that a possibility?
Well, that's what I'm really hopeful for,
Tom. I would enjoy nothing more.
Well, there's a little motto at Peregrine, bent rods and tight lines always. So just get on up here, Tom. We're waiting for you.
I'm coming. Georgia, thank you so much for welcoming our anglers back to Canada. This has been a day that we're looking forward to, and I can't tell you, I cannot thank you enough for joining us this morning, and I look forward to coming up there and meeting and fishing with you, Georgia.
Wonderful, and thank you again for having me, to both of you. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you, Georgia.
And tight lines always.
All
bye,
right.
Guys.
Thank you so much, Georgia. We really appreciate it, dude.
Go to the website.
Go to the website,
and it'll just run. It's just giant Chinook after giant Chinook, and some of these fish are like, some of them are, they're bigger round than they are long, and we're talking like 40, 45 pound Chinook. Just pigs, dude.
So Matthew and I went up to Haida Gwaii for the first time about 7 years ago, right, Matt? I mean, roughly it was 6 or 7 years ago we started doing the Father's Day thing, right?
Yeah, about that.
And so, I mean, we had you at helicopter, right? You were
absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime you're helicoptering into a location, it's going to be fun. Now, we haven't been to Peregrine before, but I tell you what, just the accommodations and the way people treat you is amazing up there.
Oh, yeah. Second to none. I can't wait.
The people make the difference. There's no question about it. All right. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson RVs. Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
Just coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You got to tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody.
The ocean journey.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Class A diesels, Class A motorhomes, Class Bs, Class Cs, Super Cs, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, boats, and others, all available at RoyRobinsonRV.com, conveniently located at their brand new location, 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard in Marysville. Check out the new Echo by Winnebago. That's Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com. So talking to Georgia of PeregrineLodge.com just a minute ago, and Joey and I just kind of, look, that 25-pounder tore us up.
Yeah.
25-pounders fight
10 times harder than a 10-pounder.
Dude.
I mean, it's just different. You know, like, as soon as you pop it off the downrigger, or normally with a 25-pounder, they will pop it off for you.
Yeah. True.
As soon as you feel that first head shake, you know whether that fish is in that 18 to 25-pound range.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just know. I mean, it's a head shake thing for guys out there.
It is.
You know, and
it is.
We fish with a lot of people who don't get to fight a lot of fish, and I'll fish on, pop it off, hand it to them. Usually I know by that first head shake whether that's that's probably going to be an 8 or 10 pounder. When you get that head shake that the rod moves 2.5 feet and then starts screaming out line, that fish just tore Jeff up, and he did a great job.
He did
and
a
that
great
fish
job.
Went
he
under
did,
the
yeah,
boat.
Yeah.
Most people lose that fish because they're not going to get the rod tip below the bottom of the boat, and you're going to get that. It's going to rub on the bottom of the boat. Boom, it's going to be gone.
Gonzo. No question about it. So really where, we've got this Chinook opportunity right now, and I'm getting texts from all over, enjoy your day off, and people are catching good numbers of Chinook.
Yeah.
Now, this fishery transitioned tremendously into Marine Area 10. So the water's right here off of the city of Seattle now.
Transitioned into Southern Area 9.
Yes.
And Northern Area 10.
Yep. And 11 is popping too. It's good stuff right now, gang. It really, really is. And so we got lots of quota left in Marine Area 10. I would not count on having next weekend in Marine Area 9. We'll know more on Tuesday when we have a conference call.
If you guys want to do us a favor, you guys in Area 9, just slide across the line into 10, okay?
Yeah, just
give us a couple more days in 9.
That would work for me. That would absolutely work for me. But this is, you know, we're transitioning into kind of some big fish time too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, and yesterday we did this. I mean, we got one on board. We could have kept. We kicked it back. You know, I mean,
lost the biggest fish of the day.
Dude, we lost
this thing. Beat, a legit, you know, that
it,
was a
it
big
was. King. It was. He beat us up and left.
He did.
He did just summarily beat us. So, it happens to us too. And that was a situation where, you know, the attention to detail got us, and we had a drag that was a little too tight, and I hooked this fish and handed it to an angler who put his thumb on the spool and started cranking, and which you don't want to do. In relatively fast water with a big fish that's heading off the other direction, you just don't want to do it. But some things, it's that tacit knowledge thing. You know things so innately and so deeply, it doesn't occur to you to communicate them to somebody else. And you can't fight the fish for them. That's a whole deal. People need to fight their own fish. But anyway, you know, so be ready for that big king. And part of being ready for that big king and that one that Jeff Lalonde caught was we were running 50-pound fluorocarbon between the spoon and the flasher. If we didn't have 50-pound fluorocarbon between the spoon and the flasher, we lose that fish.
Yeah.
Why do we lose that fish? It's not that you're fighting the fish. It's that the fish is fighting the flasher. Yeah.
The resistance, but with that flasher, we acquired another angler's gear.
Yeah. we did
the other day when he cut across our bow.
Yeah.
You know,
he actually he cut
going
across
the wrong way.
He cut across
mid-channel.
He cut across our stern.
Yeah.
Cut across our stern.
And his gear got caught.
Right.
On your down.
Well, I guess you're right. He cuts across our bow first. But it happened when it was. Yeah, you're right.
So we acquired his gear.
Yeah.
We got it on the boat.
Right.
It broke. Easily broke. And we brought it up. And his leader, I don't know, 15-pound test?
Dude.
You're running 15-pound tests. Look, these fish are not leader shy.
No.
At depth, you know, we're fishing these fish in, you know, 50 to 140 feet of water. They're not leader shy. No reason to have 15-pound test leader. Let's run through some gear stuff real quick. So,
yes, absolutely.
Obviously, we run Gibbs flashers.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody sees my flasher. I've put it out there. The one I like. It's a green and white flasher.
Sure.
It's lighted. We switched over to a green with a red stripe yesterday.
That's a Pro Troll. Yeah,
Pro Troll. Yeah. And then leader length anywhere from 54 to, I went to an 8-foot leader.
Yep. Yep.
Okay? When we were marking fish and fishing over the top of them and not getting bit, that's when I start playing with leader length. Running through spoons, we were both running kind of the same 3.0 Kingfisher cookies and cream.
And I had a hard time taking that spoon off.
It's been deadly for
you. Dude, that spoon's resume is freaking amazing.
I know you have something that's working on your side of the boat, or if a Chinook is going to bite, he's going to bite it.
Right.
On my side of the boat, I start running through stuff. So I go to a real long leader, I go to a 4.0, boom, I get bit.
So nowhere in our presentation lately are we running anything less than 50-pound test.
No.
We're spooled up with 65-pound braid. Our top shots are 50-pound braid.
50-pound fluoro.
Excuse me. Our top shots are 50-pound mono. Okay?
Okay.
So spool up your reel with 65 braid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Use an FG knot with a Ricazzo top. Mm-hmm. To make your top shot on there, 50-pound monofilament. The reason for the 50-pound monofilament is its durability, its superior abrasion resistance, and its large size sticks in those pinch-style releases wonderfully.
Yeah.
Okay? Then we're using 50-pound leaders on our spoons, 50-pound leaders on our hoochies. Maybe we'll drop down to a 40-pound monofilament if we're messing around with stuff, right?
Yeah.
But, again, That's some horsepower.
Yeah.
And the reason we use that horsepower is its durability. And, dude, I'm telling you, somebody in Puget Sound is going to get a 40-pounder this summer. I promise you.
Yeah. I've never caught 40-pound
A 40-pound hatchery fish. It's happened.
I've caught a 30-pound Chinook.
So have I.
Not in the salt, in the river.
I hear you.
And I think the biggest Chinook I've caught was 28 pounds. Way different beast than a 20-pounder.
Yeah.
And so you hook into a 40-pound Chinook, you better make sure you're geared up because they are going to try to ruin your life.
And when
you lose that fish, you're going to fall on the bottom of the boat and throw a tantrum and cry.
And end up in the fetal position.
Yeah.
Sucking
and
your
sell
thumb.
Your boat.
Yeah.
and then buy another boat.
Buy a bigger boat.
Yeah,
buy a and then buy bigger tackle. So, again, and for us, it's Gamakatsu hooks, man. I mean, the fish of a lifetime comes only once in a lifetime, and be ready for it.
Those,
so we're new hooks every day, every day.
Listen, if we get bit twice and we don't stick that fish, the hook goes away.
Yeah.
And a new hook gets put on. And look, hooks are cheap in the grand scheme of things. It was funny. So my good buddy Ryan Bayless, he went down and fished with my friend Scott Salmon on the Columbia. They had a great experience. He came home that night. He called me. Said, "What do I need to know about buying a boat?" And it took him about a month to find the boat he wanted. He bought a boat. He caught his first Chinook yesterday with us out there at Mid Channel
with his kids on
with
board.
With his kids, his wife.
And it's wrecked his whole family now.
It's they're out there today. They've
already got one
in the boat at Pilot. But you know, Bayless is a smart guy. He's dug into the tackle that came with the boat, and then immediately went to Harbor Marine and John's and dumped, you know, half of his savings account buying gear and tackle and stuff. So I go down there last night to help him fillet that fish, and I go, "Well, all you got to do is get about 1,500 more of those, and and then the boat's paid for itself."
Yeah, it is.
And he said, "Yeah, tonight we're going to have the most expensive dinner we've ever had, a $60,000 dinner." But look, so hooks,
cheap
in the grand scheme of things. You got a $300,000 boat.
Life's too short and the season's too short.
Put on new hooks.
Rusty, dull hooks, no question about it. Missed any of the show, jump on theoutdoorline.com, mynorthwest.com, or download the iTunes podcast app. Thank you very much. Give us a follow on social media at Joey Pyburn on Instagram, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, for Joey Pyburn, thanks again to Bob Buchanan for filling in for a couple weeks for us. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.